This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
I want you to look at tonight in Revelation chapter 8, and we're coming to the close of this chapter. And I will tell you, as I study this and prepare this, and was able to revisit it somewhat today. Usually on Wednesdays, I don't go home. I stay here all day, and between sermon prep and Wednesday night study, it's quite a chore and task. And as I was revisiting this afternoon, I realized that this is, I don't even know the right word I can say tonight, because especially even when we get into chapter 9, we wonder, how in the world can all of these things be? How can it happen like this? And one of the blessings that I can share with you tonight, as we take this expository approach to Revelation, verse by verse, word by word, the thing that you and I can rejoice with, and I mentioned this last Wednesday night, is that you and I, if you are saved, if you are a believer, we will not be on the earth at this particular time. We will be raptured. But it's here for a reason. The Bible says that all Scripture is given for purpose and by inspiration. And so the Lord has it here for us to be aware of. I will admit that probably if I were discipling a new believer, I would not suggest that they start with the book of Revelation. I wouldn't do that at all. I would probably say start in the Gospel of John, and that's why I'm so attached to it in my preparation for the new series coming up. I think it's one of the most easiest books of the Bible to understand. But Revelation is not. I would not recommend the book of Zephaniah, Hosea, Obadiah, Malachi. I would not point people in those directions to start out with as a new believer. But any more than I would the book of Revelation. Even though it's a book of curiosity, I think in the end it proposes more questions than answers. And I do believe that there, because of the topic that it contains, there's so many different authors and theologians and scholars who have approached it in many different ways, and that in itself is another ordeal. So we just take it from my study and try to give you something that you can glean from it, and pray to the good Lord that He can use it for His glory. So tonight we're going to go back to verse number 10. This is where we left off last week, chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8, and verse number 10, and then we will pick up the pace at this point. So John is writing. He's on the island of Patmos. The year is AD 96. He's put there on this secluded island because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, because of his preaching. So what I believe his persecutors intended to be a done deal for him, God turned it around and gave John what I believe some of the greatest scripture in the Word. So let's look here. Chapter 8 and verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now in verse number 11, as we continue on, the word says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. That's unusual. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were bitter. Now, we're talking about in this study seven trumpets, seven seals. We're talking about many different types of angels. We'll see that in chapter 9. And they all, or most of them, are involved in a prophetic ministry. in this particular verse right here, Jeremiah had a prophetic word about this word that we're looking at, wormwood. In fact, I want to give that to you in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 15, and get the scripture on the screen. And the word says this, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink." And so, this is an interesting word, an interesting prophecy. Jeremiah, he himself spoke of this as John. Now, in verse 12, this is something interesting here, because another angel pops up on the scene. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. You see, in verse number 11, a third part of the waters became defiled, bitter. Now, as the fourth angel comes on the scene, a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So you have to understand that there's a catastrophic happening in the galaxies going on right now. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So this fourth angel, he steps out, and there's a trumpet blast, and a third part of all of these things are now blown away, wiped away. And so when you get to the latter part of this verse, that means the third part of the daylight will be out around the world. It's sort of like an eclipse, but there is something in Luke chapter 21 that simulates this, and I want us to read it in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. The word says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And so we recognize that this is prophecy. Jesus spoke about this. And even centuries before the birth of Jesus, God spoke to the prophet Joel about these things as well. And he gave him a picture of the plagues that's going to accompany the day of the Lord. And I want us to look at a couple of these tonight in Joel. Joel chapter 1 and verse number 15. They would get all of these scriptures on the screen for you. "Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." And then in chapter 2 and verse number 11. "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide in it?" All right, so we do know that these devastations that are taking place in the tribulation ultimately leads up to the day of the Lord. Now, in verse number 13, notice the scripture. And John says, "And I beheld and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven." So let me pause here and say this, that John is getting a vision of all of this catastrophe. He really doesn't understand it all, but he's seeing it all explode and burn up, disintegrate before his eyes. And he's seeing these angels, he's hearing these trumpets, he's watching these seals. It's unbelievable what this man was able to experience. And God still gave him breath in his body to speak of it and write it down. So now here he says, I saw and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Now, there would be many people that would mock at this. They would laugh at this. But this is exactly what John saw. And it is exactly what's going to happen, saying with a loud voice, and then you see the three woes to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And so John was totally engaged in what was happening. This angel flying through the midst of heaven, scanning the entire earth is what was happening. And then this angel gives out a triple woe or an alert. And those are these people that are totally non-spiritual and earthly minded. Many people would not believe this, that it's going to happen, but it is. There are going to be many people that are non-spiritual when these things actually unfold, and they still will not believe it. But let me say this, that there is a distinct class of people on this earth right now that are perverse and unbelieving. They are Christ-rejecting. They are immoral people. These people are going to suffer a great consequence when the rapture takes place. Now, I believe this particular chapter is a very difficult part of the Word of God to really wrap our hearts around. To me, probably one of the most difficult chapters in all of the Bible is chapter 18 of Revelation. And so, but this chapter has so much wow in it. It comes at us like an avalanche. So much is happening at once. This fifth angel here, when the message is delivering, sounding off, this is very interesting here. So I want to share some things with you. You really have to think with me. You have to think now. Don't just sit there and listen. Just think with me. Because in chapter 9, verse number 1, this fifth angel sounded, and John said, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. All right, so I know that there are theologians who believe that this particular star that's fallen from heaven, they take the Word of God out of context and they attribute this happening to when Satan was kicked out of heaven, and they reference this particular star falling from heaven as God kicking the devil out and he's hurled to the earth. But I have a different perspective on that, and I want to give it to you tonight, because this star, the Word of God makes clear, this particular star has the key, and this is the, for me anyway, it's the component to understanding this chapter. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So we have to examine that just for a minute. Who is this person? Who has the key to the bottomless pit? And I think in order to get one of the most clearest answers to that question is to go back to a chapter we've already looked at, and that would be Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8. Again, the question is this: who has the key to the bottomless pit? In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says this: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now let's go on a little bit further. Let's look at verse number 9. I, John, whom also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, And we give it gives the description of the seven churches. Let's go to verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And we can read on farther. I don't want to take too much time in this right now, but if you read the first chapter of Revelation, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who has the key. And so I believe this angel to be in angelic form in verse number 1 of chapter 9, the Lord. I believe it to be the same person who appears in Revelation 20. Let's look at this, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Let's go there quickly. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, look at this carefully, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. Now, you have to look at this very carefully. If Jesus is the one who has the key to the bottomless pit, then it cannot be Satan who has the key to the bottomless pit. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. In verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. That's another sermon altogether. But the bottomless pit I want to reference tonight, and that is hell itself. And so I think that all of us in here tonight who are Bible students, we understand that hell has been a prison for the unrighteous ever since the fall of man. The lost souls of mankind are in hell. Demons are in hell. But the thing that I want to clarify with you tonight is this, that the devil is not in hell tonight. Lost souls are in hell. Demon spirits are in hell. But Satan is not in hell right now. He will be, but he's not right now. The devil right now is alive on this earth. He's walking up and down on this earth. The Bible says he's the prince and power of the air. But I want to give you some scriptures here that clarify a little bit of this teaching. In Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12, they'll get this on the screen. Look at this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also, look at this, Satan came also among them. Let's read verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Now the Lord God is omniscient. He knows. And he knew where he had been, but he wanted to have this conversation with Satan. And so he began to question him, interrogate him. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, look at this, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. He is not in hell right now. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy hand, or thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So this gives you a clear understanding that when this conversation between God and Satan took place, Satan was on the earth. There has never been a time since then where the Bible says, and thus saith the Lord God, I have now put Satan in hell. He's not in hell. He's on the earth. And let me give you another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be vigilant or be sober, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, look at this. Doesn't say that he's wailing in hell because of his sin, because of his transgression against God, because of his rebellion against God. Doesn't say that he's burning with fire and brimstone right now. The Bible says that he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. That's happening right now. It happened in Peter's day. It happens in our day. And then let me give you 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right, so now this particular point being in this message right now is that Satan is very much alive. He's very much active, working on this earth. I believe hell is in the center of the earth. I believe that every lost soul is in hell. I believe demon spirits are in hell, and I believe one day hell will be his abode, but it's not now. He's working as a roaring lion, as we have just seen, seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me share with you something about this pit, this bottomless pit that we're talking about here in verse number 1 of Revelation 9. There's an interesting story in the book of Numbers about this pit. And I want to give you the chapter and verse that I want to reference. First of all is Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 3. And this is the story of a man who had led a revolt against Moses. And the scripture says this, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, saying all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Because of an individual named Korah, God told Moses to distance himself from this man and to not have fellowship with him, separate himself from them. In Numbers 16:21, let's go to verse number 21 here. God said, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And then the Lord brought his vengeance. I want you to see, let's look at verses 30 through 33. But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth, the earth, now this is significant, and the earth, hell is not floating around in some galaxy. But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and shall, or look at this, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. This is significant. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Verse 31, and it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. In verse 33, they and all that appertained to them, look at this, this is significant, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. It's my belief that hell is in the center of the earth. It's my belief that these people particularly, when they went against the man of God, the word says that the earth opened itself up, swallowed them alive, and they went into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished among the congregation. So without question, and my belief that hell is in the heart of the earth. Let me give you one more scripture on this. In Matthew 12, verse 38 through 40, The word says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights, look at this, in the heart of the earth. And we know, I don't have time tonight to go into the tormentous side of Hades, as the word talks about, and the side where Abraham and Lazarus went. We know that there was a conversation that took place between the rich man, Abraham, and Lazarus. They could conversate, but they could not go back and forth. But the interesting thing here is that the Bible does talk about the dissension of the Lord at the time of the crucifixion. When he died, he went into the heart of the earth. That's another day, another sermon altogether. But that's one of the significant reasons why I believe that's where that is. So get back to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 2. We're talking about this bottomless pit thing. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, let me establish something for you here. You have to understand what is happening on the earth right now. The tribulation. That's what's happening. The tribulation is taking place. God is unleashing his wrath and his fury, his rage on the earth for rebellion and sin, rejection, and he is having his day of judgment. All of these things now are happening. So, the Lord Jesus has the key to the bottomless pit. He opens it up, and when he does, immediately, this black smoke, and this is not symbolic, and this is not a spiritual representation, this is literal. And it just begins to come out of hell, the bottomless pit. In other words, it comes out of the pit. And then notice this, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and smoke as a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And again, that's not symbolic. This has literally happened. Smoke is going to rise so thick that according to the word of God, that it blocks the sun. And there is going to be darkness all over the land because of this experience. Now in verse number 3, now I see that we're out of time, and my goodness, it seems like we've just started, but I have to speed this up a little bit. I only have time tonight to get verse 3. And there came out of the smoke, look at this. Again, let me emphasize that none of this is spiritualized. None of this is symbolic. This is literal happenings. People who are left behind on the earth who had rejected the Lord, who missed the rapture, who are going through the tribulation, are experiencing these things. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Some of you are familiar with that. You know what a scorpion can do to an individual. But here's the thing. I personally believe, because these particular locusts are coming out of the pit, I believe that these will be demonic locusts. And I, again, want to reemphasize something, that this is not symbolic. This is not spiritualized. This is literally happening. God is unleashing his wrath on the earth. And he's doing it in unfathomable ways. That's why I said that I don't know, the word bizarre is the word that we can use freely, because that word I think is deceiving. I don't want anybody to think that what we're talking about is unbelievable, because all of this is going to happen. And all of it is happening. John saw it all taking place. And so these locusts are not permitted to hurt God's people who have the seal in their head, which will be millions. We'll see that next week as we get into verse number 4. How God uses these demonic locusts as a part, a component of his wrath on the earth. But it will show us that he is still in control. The word says he has all things under his feet. And he certainly does. So we have to end here tonight, and we will, Lord willing, pick up again next week with verse number 4. These are incredible happenings. I'm glad that as a born-again believer, we will not experience any of this stuff. We will be at the judgment seat of Christ for 3.5 years, and then we will move to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then the mighty revelation of Jesus Christ takes place, where he will come and defeat the Antichrist and then set his kingdom up on this earth, where he will rule and reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David. So thank God, as a believer, you won't have to go through any of this, but woe be it to anybody that said no to the Holy Spirit under conviction, died and went to hell, or who either is alive on this earth when the rapture takes place and misses it altogether.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.